Bibles. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's going to be our first passage, and then we are going to be in the Old Testament all this morning. I'm going to read some verses out of the New Testament, but we're going to basically be looking at the Old Testament. This morning and this evening, we're putting them together. We're talking about the Bible and tithing. The Bible and tithing, or the Bible and giving, and try to understand it biblically. I would ask that, again, I mentioned this book, Giving God's Way. Those of you that maybe you say, you know, I'm not sure about giving God's way, stop by the front desk, grab that book, read it over the next couple of weeks. Find out what God has to say about giving. The reason we're putting this morning and this evening together is because the Bible has a lot to say about tithing. And if you went on a search, biblically, or not biblically, if you went on a search on the internet and you just put in biblical tithing, you're going to have a boatload of ideas out there. And a lot of them, it really is, it's just their thoughts. It's not necessarily the Bible, and they have some, it seems, seeming so, some convincing arguments. But you're going to see this morning, we go to the Bible, and the reason we're starting 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, that doctrine means teaching, all right, then reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why is all this given? All Scripture is given by God. It's given for teaching. It's given for reproof. It's given for living properly in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Many years ago, this is, I think, many, many years ago, there was a commercial for the Prego spaghetti sauce. All right, some people don't even know what that is. All right, but it was a spaghetti sauce. All right, Prego spaghetti sauce. Now you got so many. Basically, you just have, most of you just buy the Aldi brand. I understand that. But there was a upper crust brand called Prego, and a mother was cooking spaghetti, and the pot was kind of bubbling there, and it was full of spaghetti sauce. The aroma though, the tantalizing aroma was kind of going through the air. The son was confused though, and you could see it on his face. He was kind of confused, and he catches the eye of his mother and then asks his mother, he says, Mother, where are the mushrooms? And the mother looks at him and says, they're in it. And so then he's kind of satisfied for a few seconds. And then confusion again sets on the son's face because the aroma, he starts smelling and he's like, Mother, where's the sausage? And the mother looks at him and says, it's in it. And over, he asks about onions. He asks about tomatoes. He asks about, I don't know, for me it'd be Tony Ketchers. There'd be all this stuff. And the mother just always turns to him and says, it's in it. Now, what was the point of the commercial? That Prego spaghetti sauce, it doesn't matter what you're thinking of, it's in it. Prego spaghetti sauce has it covered. Now, that's what this verse is saying to you and I, that Prego spaghetti, no, all right. What it's saying is, all Scripture is given by inspiration. What is God telling us? Whatever you're searching for, it's in it. It's in it. So now we're going to start looking at giving. Guess where I'm supposed to go? So some book out there, some great master multimillionaire that's going to give me instruction about giving. No, I go to the Word. You know why? Because it's in it. It's in it. The Bible gives us an instruction on this. And what you're going to find when you start reading some of the other authors, what they're saying about giving is, you know what? Tithing is Old Testament. Tithing is Old Testament. Let me ask you, Paul, writing to young Timothy as a pastor or as an evangelist or a missionary, Brother Olson and I have had a discussion on that. So here's Timothy. He's a young man in the ministry. Paul is instructing him. All Scripture. What is that referring to? What was complete for Timothy? You know what it is. The Old Testament was enough for him to do all that was necessary. And you know what? For you and I, I'm not going to discard the whole Old Testament because it still is part of all Scripture. So these people, what are they? They want us to just take all the Old Testament and say, oh, you know what? I don't like that. I'm not going to look at that. No, all Scripture is given to us. The Bible has a lot to say about giving. Let me give you some New Testament verses. Matthew chapter 2, and this is at the beginning of the New Testament when Jesus was just being born. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Most people use this at Christmas. And when they were coming to the house, this is talking about the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And what did their worship involve? And when he saw him, he had compassion on this man. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then it says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave it to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. All right, the first is the story of the wise men and their worship. When they worship God, their worship involved giving. Here we see a good Samaritan, and the Samaritan saw a need, and what did he do? He gave to meet the need, didn't he? The New Testament has a lot to say about giving in Matthew and in Luke. In Luke chapter 21, it says Jesus was there. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also certain poor widow casting in their 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury or her poorness or of her little hath cast in all the living that she had. The Bible is telling us that it doesn't matter. Here is this little, a poor widow that she didn't have a lot, but she gave, and it thrilled her soul. And Jesus watching from afar, it thrilled his soul that here was somebody that gave in, even though she did not have much. And God honored that. The New Testament has a lot to say about giving, but we are going to be looking at the Old Testament this morning, and then this evening we will finish up the Old Testament and then talk through the New Testament. I divide it into 4 areas, all right, just so you know. We have 4 departments that we're looking at. We're going to look at the patriarchal period, then we're going to look at the Mosaic period, then we're going to look at the prophetic, or the period of the prophets, and then we're going to look at the New Testament era. So we're going to divide it into those 4 areas and see what in each of those areas was there giving. And what you're going to find is giving is in all of them. All right, so let's go first to the patriarchal period in Genesis chapter 14. Again, it's going to be more of Bible study. So if you came this morning and you did not have a Bible, please share with somebody. If you don't have, maybe you want to take some notes, I would challenge you to take some notes down and then look at the Bible and study it later on. The Bible tells us to weigh everything, to look at it. I have no problem discussing with you if you think that something is off, but I just would challenge you, you better know your Bible. All right, Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. So look here at Genesis chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 20. All right, actually, let's go back to verse 18. It may seem a little bit confusing here, but this is the story of Melchizedek, who was a king, and then Abraham. There was a battle of the kings earlier in chapter 14 and verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. King of Salem, they believe, was king of Jerusalem. All right, so this is Jerusalem way back, okay? Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem, or Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Notice in verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him, this is not the king Melchizedek. This is talking about Abraham. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So it continues on with the story of this conquering of the kings. But King Melchizedek comes out to Abraham. He blesses him. It says he's the priest of the Most High God. And Abraham, what does he do? Give a tithe. The Hebrew word there, that tithe means 10%. Right? That's where we get the idea of 10%. So here in the patriarchal period, we see Abraham giving a tithe. Let's look at another passage. Look at Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. Again, we're trying to do a more of a Bible study on this idea of giving. We're looking specifically at the patriarchal period. All right, and so that is the time before Moses. All right, so in Genesis chapter 28... look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, look what he says, I will surely give the, what is the word? Tenth. Unto thee. That is a tithe. Okay, so here in this patriarchal period, we see Abraham, what did he do? He came out and he met King Melchizedek. And what did he do? He bowed down to him. They worshiped together. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he gave a tithe, which was a tenth. Later on, here we see Jacob. And Jacob in this patriarchal period, he's coming back and he's getting right. He's wanting to worship God. He sets a stone here and he says, I'm going to set this as a pillar. This shall be God's house, and of all that shall give me, all you're going to give me, I will give a tenth unto thee. Patriarchal period. What are we seeing? A tithe is evident in the patriarchal period. Those that knock tithing. In fact, I read a bunch of articles over the last couple weeks. Okay, bunch of articles. There's a whole bunch of people that don't like tithing. No, a whole bunch of people that don't like it. Now, what they say is that a lot of fundamental Baptists, when you go in, you're going to hear them saying that you need to tithe and that's a tenth. And I don't know where they're getting that. Well, Genesis chapter 14, Genesis chapter 28, we're already seeing, maybe I'm getting it out of the Bible. Okay, and what they then say is, you know what, that's Old Testament. Well, I'm pretty sure that they agree with thou shalt not kill. Maybe they don't. But I do, and that is Old Testament. I also see in the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. I also see in Genesis chapter 1 that I was created. Now that's Old Testament. But I still believe it. Now, just because I may not like that God requires a tithe, I don't just go into the Bible and chuck it. I don't just go and pick and choose. The Bible is not your smorgasbord. This is not just a this is not the Bible, the Ponderosa buffet. All right, most of those are out of business anyways. All right, and most of it, you guys have been there, especially Bill. All right, you know that. You're not gonna eat a buffet, are you? All right, because whose hands have touched that? Oh, yeah, you've seen them cooks back there. All right, but this is not a buffet. I don't come and pick and choose whatever I like, do I? The Bible is instructing me that there's a tenth principle, okay? And it's not just a tenth principle. We also see in the patriarchal period, not just a tenth, we also see the idea of sacrifice. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Look at Genesis chapter 4. We know of this idea of sacrifice, but I want to tie it in, and then we're going to draw a couple principles just out of the patriarchal period. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived to bear Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Look at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Notice what he did. What did he bring? Hello. An offering unto the Lord. Look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his what? Offering. We see right at the beginning of time, I believe this is at the beginning of time, we see that the people inhabiting the earth were in the habit of bringing offerings to the Lord. See that? Right at the beginning of time. That's Genesis chapter 4. Look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. All right, now I'm going to explain this a little bit. All right, Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That means he was trying him and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Now, some of you, you're going to appreciate this because you say, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to sacrifice my son. All right? That is not necessarily what this passage is teaching, although sometimes you may want to sacrifice your son. But what it, again, is showing us is that God expected sometimes of his people to bring an offering. We see that right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 4. We see it in Genesis chapter 22. Look at Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Again, I'm trying to use a lot of scripture because I want us to understand biblically what the Bible has to say about giving. Look at Genesis 35, verse 14. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And what did he do? He poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. So here in the patriarchal period, what are we seeing? Not only did we see that under King Melchizedek, Abraham brought a tithe, we saw Jacob, and I think it was Genesis 28, we see Jacob bringing a tithe, but we also see Abel, Cain and Abel both bringing an offering. We see Abraham bringing an offering. We see Jacob again bringing an offering. Then, believe it or not, those of you that have studied the Bible a little bit, you know this also is in the patriarchal period. Look at Job chapter 1. Although Job is in the middle, it's one of the poetry books. Right in the middle, it's right before Psalms. All right, the book of Psalms, you find Job. But look at Job chapter 1. Job, they believe, lived during, at least during the time of Abraham. It could even be earlier. There's a debate on when Job, but Job lived during the patriarchal time period. He did not live during the time of David, even though the book is right next to it. That may confuse you. It's a book of poetry, so that's why they put it there. But in Job chapter 1, look at verse 5. This is the beginning of the book of Job. It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about. Notice what Job did. Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. And what did he do? He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did, what's the word? Continually. There are some people, I read it in this past week and the week before, when they went to King Melchizedek. Remember in that passage with King Melchizedek in the book of Genesis? And they were talking about Abraham, and Abraham, he gave a tithe. And they said, notice, he did it one time. So you're only supposed to give once. I'm like, oh, come on. But wait a minute. What did Job do? He offered offerings. How often? Continually. And my wife and I were having a discussion even yesterday about this because I was telling him, man, it's irritating me because I'm studying it and I'm looking at it. But biblically, I understand what they're pulling something out of context and it can confuse you. Because then as we talked, she even mentioned, isn't there things that are mentioned only one time in the Bible, but it's understood that I've got to do that over and over? There is some things. All right, so how many times should I not kill? Only one time. But I can kill the second time. Oh, that's not true. So how many times does God have to tell me, thou shalt not kill? I'm thinking one time should be enough, right? There are things in the Bible that God, He doesn't repeat over and over and over and over and over and over again. But guess what? I understand that I need to do it a lot. And it's the same thing with giving. It's the same thing with my offerings. God is putting principles down and the whole Bible doesn't, I mean, every verse is not going to say give a tithe, give a tithe, give a tithe, give an offering, give a tithe. I mean, He wouldn't be able to cover a lot of things, would He? So the patriarchal period, what are we seeing? Here's some principles that we draw from the patriarchal period. And if you're not sure what that is, basically it's the time before Moses. So from Adam up until Joseph, when Joseph went in to the land of Egypt, we have the patriarchal period from Adam to that time. So what do we learn from these passages? Well, number one, tithing is a pre-law concept. Tithing is a pre-law concept. You saw that Abraham tithed. You saw that Jacob tithed. Tithing is a pre-law concept. Sacrifice is important in your worship. If you say, you know what, we all like to come. We're like, oh, I'm coming to the worship hour. Well, if you look even in the New Testament, remember in Matthew chapter 2, we love the story of Jesus being born and wise men coming and they worshiped Him. And in their worship, what did they do? They gave. So you're not really worshiping the Savior unless you give to Him. All right, sacrifice is important in our worship. Then, in the passage in the patriarchal period, giving needs to be done God's way. Remember in Genesis chapter 4, it gave us two guys that gave an offering. Who were the two guys? Cain and who else? Abel. Whose offering was accepted? Abel's. And Cain's was rejected. You know why? It wasn't done God's way. It wasn't done God's way. So right in the patriarchal period, what are we learning? We're learning some important principles. God's establishing that giving is very important in our life. So let's move to the second period. Second period is the Mosaic period. This one is a little more confusing, and so I will only read certain verses. And I will give you some passages, and if you really want to study it, dive into it, all right, because you can go for it. Leviticus, and right now you're knowing why. I'm not going to read all the passages. Leviticus chapter 27. As most of you skip over this book in your Bible reading. All right? But in Leviticus chapter 27, notice what the passage tells us. All right, look at verse 26, first of all. All right, Leviticus 27. If you're looking in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book in. All right? Leviticus chapter 27, look at verse 26. Only the firstlings of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstlings, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep. It is, whose is it? It is the Lord's. If it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation. Look at verse 28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Look at verse 30 now. Okay? And all the tithe of the land. All right? Now notice it divides it into three things. Whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord. Well, that's actually divided into two things. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. All right? And then here is the next part. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, he shall not search, at verse 33, whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he shall change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, it shall be redeemed. All right, so here's Leviticus chapter 27. And notice what it says. Now we're in the Mosaic period. We know the Mosaic period is known as the patriarchal. We got Adam all the way to kind of Joseph. Then Moses comes out on the scene. Moses, under Moses, they're redeemed out of Egypt. And then the children of Israel are given the what? The law. All right, they're given the law. In the book of Leviticus, the Numbers, Deuteronomy, they are given specific instructions in regards to the law. You are my people, and I have redeemed you. I have basically purchased you. You are my people. You're set apart. You're a holy nation. But then God starts laying down different laws. So in the Mosaic period, guess what was required? I mean, it was demanded of the children of Israel, a tithe. Now, this is where those that are against tithing, all right, I almost agree with them. All right, I am not under the law. I'm under grace. God purchased me. In fact, Jesus said he fulfilled all the law. All right, he fulfilled all of it. All right, and in some ways I'm kind of glad for that because my tithe, I do still believe that belongs to the Lord. But the tithe, I believe, is a tenth. The Jewish people, their tithe was not a tenth. All right, did you notice there was three different tithes? There was tithes of seed. There was tithes of the fruit of the tree. And there was tithes of the flock. And they even went into explanation here. Concerning the tithes of the herd, did you notice in verse 33? God received the, it was supposed to be so many, like for every 10, he would get one. They weren't even allowed to look and be like, oh, that's a bad one. I want God to have that. They weren't even allowed to look and pick and choose. No, the tithes belonged to the Lord. And they had three different tithes. Most people that have added it up say that the tithe for a normal Israelite person was between about 27 to 33% of all their income. That's what God said. It's mine. And if you don't like it, then go back to Egypt and you can be a slave in Egypt. Basically, because what did he do? You're my people. You're holy. This is a requirement. That's what God established. So he established this idea of tithing for the children of Israel. But it wasn't just tithing. He established a couple other things. Look in Exodus chapter 23. All right, Exodus chapter 23. Bear with me. All right, we're trying to biblically go through. So we've looked at the patriarchal period. Now we're looking at the Mosaic period. Look at Exodus 23 and verse 16. All right, there's an observance on some feast. Look at verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered up in thy labors out of the field. He established a feast for the children of Israel, and there was a first fruits feast or a first fruits day, and there was a feast of the end gathering. So at the start of harvest or the start of the production of harvest, and at the end, when they were done with it all, there was feast, and they had to bring first fruits to God. So we see the establishment of this idea of first fruits. Look at Exodus 23 and verse 19. The first of thy, of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. All right, so we see that established. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy, so we have Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, or Exodus? Oh, Exodus, man, I was off. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Wow. I got to go back and memorize my books here, all right? So Genesis, all right, Deuteronomy 26. Look at verse 10. Deuteronomy 26, verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So here's this idea of first fruits. All right, so in the Mosaic period, we still have the idea of a tithe being given, but then we have this idea of the first fruits. Okay, look at Joshua. So then you're at Deuteronomy, keep going. Joshua chapter 6. Look at what the Bible tells us here in Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Joshua 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Go down to verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Look at verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Okay? The reason I'm reading this, again, is this idea of first fruits. Those of you that have read through the Bible a little bit, we know the children of Israel. They're brought out of Egypt. They wander around in the wilderness. We sing the song, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, and 10 were horrible, all right, and 2 were dudes, all right? So here are the 2 guys. They were good, all right? So these 2 guys, they stood up and they said, we can take it, but they listened to the 10, and what happened to the children of Israel? They wandered around in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. They get done with that. Moses is not allowed to go into the land. Joshua is supposed to take them into the promised land. So Joshua takes them into the promised land. What is the first city that they go after? Jericho. And who got all of it? Who got all of it? God. In fact, we know of one man that he snuck and he took some of it. Who was that? Achan. Achan stole the bacon. All right, he stole it. All right, he took that which belonged to the Lord. Guess what God was establishing under the Mosaic period? Yes, there was a tithe, but also he was establishing another principle. Principle of the first fruits. All right, God deserves our first, our best. That's what he was establishing in the Mosaic period, I believe. And you know what's sad to me? What's sad to me is I don't live under the law. All right, I'm glad because I challenge some of you. Read through some of Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy. Oh, I am so glad I am not under the law. All right, I don't really like shrimp. I don't like crab. I don't like lobster. But you know what? They aren't allowed to eat any of that. Some of you, mm-mm-mm. All right, when you're dipping that lobster in that creamy butter, oh, you would have been a heathen Israelite. They would have been thumping your melon. All right? You ain't allowed to have that. I mean, I wasn't allowed to have bacon. Oh, my word. My dog would be upset. All right? My dog would be like, I am not Jewish. All right? I am not going to eat the little cap on him and all that. Be like, oh, no. I'm out of here. I'm going to join the Philistines because I want bacon. All right? They weren't allowed to. There was a lot of restrictions that the Israelites had. There was a lot of laws. But you know what? God redeemed them. He picked them. They were his. But under the Mosaic law, we learned some very important things. And this is very true for us. Because guess what God deserves? The first fruits. He deserves your best. We also see that. Let's look at one other passage in Exodus chapter 4. All right, and we'll close it down this morning. And then tonight, we'll continue and we'll look at our last 2 things tonight. All right, so in Exodus chapter 4. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, look at verse 22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Look at what he said even. Even my firstborn. I thought that was interesting. Israel is my son. He is my firstborn. Look at verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And then if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy what? Firstborn. Look at chapter 13 then. Chapter 13. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me what? All the firstborn. Whatsoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, whose is it? It is mine. So what are some lessons that we learn? In the patriarchal period, we learned two things. Tithing was a pre-law concept. We learned sacrifice is important to our worship, and giving needs to be done God's way. Then we come to the Mosaic period. And guess what we learn in the Mosaic period? The first fruits principle. The first fruits principle. And what is that? God deserves my best. God doesn't, in fact, recently, I heard a message. I heard a message that God loves leftovers. And that's kind of a nice, catchy thing. But actually, as I was listening to it, and I was like, you know what? Biblically, actually, God likes the best. That's what he likes. I mean, yeah, I don't mind leftovers. And the guy, he went on and on. He went on. I mean, half his message was about food, which is like most people's messages. All right? Half his message was about food in the fridge. And I'm like, you know, that's nice. And I'm glad that you got leftovers in your fridge. But actually, God likes the best. That's what he likes. And many times as Christians, we don't want to give them the first fruits. We don't want to. I mean, here are the Israelites, their firstborn, it was God's. Did you notice what it said? The firstborn, it was given to God. Now, God doesn't require that of you and I. But what he does say is, you know what, why don't you give me your best? Why don't you give me, am I a good God? Am I a good Savior? And so many of us, we're like, oh, yeah, he is. Amen. Right, then we're like, let me see. I got 50 cents here. You don't really believe it. Because, go back to the patriarchal period. If you're worshiping God, you're going to sacrifice. You're going to give him an offering. But here in the Mosaic period, what do we learn? The law of the first fruits. God deserves the best. Jericho was his. Don't touch it. It's all his. Why? Because God needed it. That's going to be another point here. So the first thing is the first fruits principle. The second point is the tithe belongs to the Lord. Did you notice the tithe is back in the Mosaic period, isn't it? Patriarchal period, tithe belongs to the Lord. It's pre-law. But in the Mosaic period, it's mine. It's mine. Tithe belongs to the Lord. But then the third thing that we find in the Mosaic period is that the tithe or the giving sustained the Lord's work. Do you know the Levites were given no land. Remember when they came into Israel, they came into the promised land and they're dividing it all up. Guess who didn't get any? The Levites. His family got nothing. Because guess what they lived off of? They lived off of the tithes and offerings given by the other tribes. And did you notice in Jericho? What did the Bible tell us in Joshua? In Joshua chapter 6, listen to what it says. All the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. They were there to take care of needs for the, in essence, the church, all right? I'm not covenant theology, all right? But in the Israelites there, what was it? It was coming in to take care of the temple. It was coming in to take care of the tabernacle and the needs of these people. That's what they were supposed to do. Even if you read in Leviticus and you read in Numbers and you read in Deuteronomy, you will read about five different types of offerings. There's a burnt offering, a peace offering, a trespass offering. You will find about these different offerings. And some of the offerings, guess what happened? The Levites, the guy that was performing the task, he was allowed to take some of it and eat of it. Why? Because that's how he lived. It was establishing, the Mosaic period was establishing something. All right, the people in the ministry, all right, they live off of what you give. So you give nothing, I live off of nothing. All right, we give nothing, we can have nothing. You give nothing, we can't run buses. We give nothing, we can't support missionaries. We give nothing, we can't keep the school at the price of it. I was just, all right, last weekend I was traveling, and there's a pastor that's trying to start a school there in Tampa, Florida. He was talking to me about, all right, how much it should be. He said, what do you charge? I said, oh, you don't want to know. He goes, so how much? I said, about $18.50. He goes, what? How in the world can you do that? They're hoping to have maybe 30 to 40 students this fall. The cheapest he can do it is about $3,500, and he's thinking he can't do that. That's a brand new school, all right, that has nothing. We have a gym, swimming pool. We have great teachers. I mean, a few of them. All right, we have all kinds of things that are unbelievable. But why can we do it? Because you know what? These, you sitting right here, you believe in our school. You believe in our school. And so some of it, some of our money that comes in, guess what? It's funneled into the school so that we can keep it, Lord. Why? Because I don't want your children in the public school. I want them in our school, learning from the Bible, learning from godly teachers. Why? Because we believe in it. And so those offerings, guess what? They help sustain the work of the ministry. There was a story told about a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster gave to three of his students a very difficult problem. He told them after he gave them that really hard problem, he said, you know what? This is very, very difficult. It's very hard. And you're going to struggle with it, but there is a way to solve it. The first student struggled with it for just a few days and then just quit. Said, there is no way. I'm done. The second student had seen somebody that had kind of solved these type of problems. And because they had seen that, they had continued on for a couple of weeks. And man, they struggled. And finally, though, they said, there's no way. It's not possible. I know I saw that person do it, but it's not possible. But the third student just kept struggling and struggling and struggling. And although they weren't really coming up with a good solution, and although they hadn't really seen anybody that accomplished it, the schoolmaster would walk by and they would hear the student say, I can't see it, but my master said there's a way. That's what I'm asking you to trust when it comes to God and giving. You may not see it. You may say, you know what? I've got to look at this. I've got to study. That's why I'm giving you the Bible. That's why we only got partway through the Old Testament. Why? Because I'm not asking you to just, hey, let's just throw money into the offering plate. No, I'm asking you to look at the Bible. See if it is God's way. I believe it is. I'm not trying to trick you. But giving God's way is tithing, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. Giving God's way is giving Him the best. Giving God's way is sustaining His work, His ministry.
Now, does the Bible say that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills? Does God say that He's got all sufficiency? Yes, that's all true. But guess what God has decided to use? You and I. And so we go out and we work and we gain that money. And then God says, hey, so are you going to give me an offering? I'm not talking about a tithe now. We're going to talk about that tonight. Because in the New Testament, as I mentioned on Thursday night, if you're tithing, yep, you're sucking your thumb and you're doing the training wheels. All right, the training wheels are spinning. Woo-wee! All right? Because what you'll see in the New Testament, and the New Testament, it goes way beyond just tithing. In the New Testament, what I believe is I should come to the Romans 12 philosophy. I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. And that's just my reasonable service. Because it's all His. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.